everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, engineering the show today. It is the Wednesday midweek edition of Buckmaster, December 10th, 2014. As we close in on Christmas, with Christmas Eve now just 2 weeks from this afternoon. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com, which is also the spot for all of your podcasts and the complete show archive. We'll get things going with a conversation with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, followed at 12:30. Our blogger beat contributor David Safir, Buckmaster Live Line, available for you anytime during the hour, 790-2040. And our Facebook page, we invite you to check it out, is Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome now Tucson Ward 6 Democrat Councilman Steve Kasachek. Steve, how are you?
I'm well until I just heard you say it's 2 weeks until Christmas Eve. I can't believe it. Oh, my.
I hesitate to even ask, have you even started your shopping?
Well, it's not Christmas Eve yet. Why would I have done that? No. Oh, my. I haven't even thought about it, man.
Yeah. Anyway, busy week this week. Monday, the community forum you hosted along with the University of Arizona community members, and they said basically they're fed up with the noisy parties, the disturbances, and vandalism in areas of off-campus housing by UA students and fraternities. And this follows in the wake of some students being accused of vandalizing the neighboring Islamic Center on East First Street by throwing objects off balconies. Okay, the neighbors are fed up, so what can be done?
Well, this is on the heels of 14 months worth of abuse of the Islamic Center of Tucson, and also some of the businesses to the north side that the students have been throwing things off of the balconies. But even beyond that, this issue goes to the greater, the reason we had the forum was it goes to the greater question of student behavior at off-campus living quarters, whether it's a single-family residence that's turned into a student housing rental, or the mini dorms that were really the catalyst for this whole these towers at Park and Speedway, or the immediate ones at Park and Speedway. So what we did was we actually I've had two different groups meetings. Number one was immediately after I learned about the issues with respect to the mosque. I got together with leadership from the mosque. We had TPD in the meeting. We had Dean of Students and Community Relations and the ownership group from the towers. And we sat, and it was a fairly closed meeting. I wanted to be very focused. This was the first one. And we came out of that meeting with some commitments from the ownership to do several things that they're in the process of doing. Those include some eviction notices. One of the things that I learned was that one of the terms of the lease agreements with these kids in the towers is that they can either fine them or they can serve eviction notices for anything being thrown off of those balconies. The fines didn't work, Bill. They tried it, and quite frankly, the demographics of the kids who are living there, I mean, they're paying like $1,800 a month for one of those rooms, and so a $1,000 fine was not even a blip on their radar screen. Generally, their parents are paying it anyway. So the ownership group agreed to two things. Number one, if they can identify the person who threw the object to serve an eviction notice. Number two, though, if four of us have access, we're in separate rooms, but we have access to a common balcony, because the terms of the lease agreement are such that you're responsible for anybody that's your guest or who has access to your place, they agreed to serve eviction notices to all four of us if we have access to the common balcony, if nobody would fess up and say it was Steve who did it or it was Bill who did it. And so so they served four eviction notices one weekend, and the next weekend another incident occurred, and they went back and served a few more. In that case, we found that the peer pressure was starting to work because three of the students turned in the person who was guilty of throwing the second object. And so five eviction notices have been issued. In addition to that, the ownership group has agreed to installing video cameras that will take pictures of all four sides of all three of the towers, and they've done some other things such as paying to clean up the mosque parking lot and their roof. But the conversation is ongoing, because when we had the forum on Monday night, it was, as I mentioned, about the wider perimeter of student housing. I mean, we've got these three towers, we've got the district and a junction at Iron Horse and several others that have gone up. And the question is, how do we as a city and how does the university compel the students to not act out in ways that violate the right of the quiet enjoyment of the neighborhood of the people who live around them? So the university was at the forum on Monday. Dean of Students was there. They have a 24-hour hotline that they gave out. In addition to that, the Dean of Students will follow up with anything from counseling to expulsion, depending on the nature of the incident. And so basically, Bill, all hands are on deck, and with respect to the broader conversation as well. I would kind of close by saying this. Yesterday or day before, I was meeting with members of the Southern Arizona Hate Crimes Task Force, and they have taken up this issue with respect to not only the mosque, but the same week that the mosque incidents hit the press, there was a situation in which some students kicked down the door and were yelling anti-Semitic remarks as they burst into a room and started punching out some other students. The Hate Crimes Task Force we have already gotten agreement from the Jewish Community Relations Committee and the leadership of the Islamic Center of Tucson to sit down jointly together and say, the Islamic Center and the Jewish Community Relations Center, we are absolutely foursquare against any of these incidents that involve what on their face could look to be a hate crime. So that one's coming, and we're in the process of planning that.
All right, Steve Kasachek with us, Tucson City Councilman. We've got a lot of ground to cover here, so let's move on. Yesterday's council meeting, you voted along with the mayor against the council rejected bus fare hikes and major route changes. You said that you and the mayor that actually we need to raise the bus fares, right?
Well, yeah, but let's put it in context. In the last 5 years, the TPD's budget has gone from about $160 million to about $162 million. These are operations budget. Parks and Rec's budget has dropped by $7 million. And in that same time frame, our subsidy out of the general fund to SunTran has gone up $11 million to over $40 million. I'm not willing to consider the transit discussion in a vacuum. We have a one budget, and with that, I mean, every neighborhood meeting, every business meeting I go to, people ask about the roads. They ask about police staffing. Are we going to shut down fire stations? What about code enforcement? How do we get more code people out into the neighborhoods? Social services. Many of the people who rely on the economy fare to get around town are also asking us to re-increase our support for social service agencies around town. So it's all a part of one piece. So we had two pieces of the proposal in front of us. One came from the Transit Task Force, which is a group of citizens that study this and made a recommendation, and the other came from staff. One of the pieces was an operations question. Do we want to build more efficiencies into the routes by increasing wait times or decreasing wait times depending on the use of the particular route? The Transit Task Force's recommendation would save us about $260,000, and the staff recommendation was going to save us $1.2 million. As far as the fare increases are concerned, the Transit Task Force was going to save us $0, and the staff recommendation was going to save us about $630,000. So I voted in favor of taking the staff recommendations because we have a budget hole that we don't even know the size of yet. And again, to put it in context, the fares that we were talking about, nothing would happen, zero would happen to the base fare or the economy fares up until fiscal year 2018, and then they would go up a nickel. So I didn't think that was an outrageous request to make on part of the transit riders to help us adjust our budget needs along with the rest of the departments. What I do think, though, is that we need to do a better job of marketing the transit system. We have a SunGo, SunGo card that you can't put multiple passes on. You get on the streetcar, and you can only pay $4 at the kiosk, and on and on. And so the pitch I made yesterday was I'm going to support the staff recommendations, and they lost. But I also want staff and the city to do a more effective job of marketing the system we have and make it more user-friendly. If I'm trying to give you money, you ought to make it easy for me to do that. And that's not true right now with respect to the transit system.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Steve Kasachek, stick around. We'll take our first break of this midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We'll be right back after this.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. From cooking, cleaning, bathing, and drinking, the benefits of a Culligan system are obvious. You'll use less soap, shampoo, and detergent. Your appliances will last longer, your clothes will last longer, and stay brighter, too. All of this saves you money and adds to the quality of life. Not to mention softer skin and softer hair the whole family will enjoy. Culligan has been in Tucson since 1946, and we have seen about every water concern imaginable. We continue to stay on top of the newest state-of-the-art technology to deliver the refreshing, clean, and high-quality water that's become the Culligan hallmark of excellence. Try a Culligan water treatment system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' rental on an annual rental agreement. Schedule your free water test, and don't forget to ask about the Culligan high-efficiency water softener. Call 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:21. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman, with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Tucson was ranked among America's neediest cities, the latest in a survey that's showing, yes, there are a lot of poor people here. One in four people in the poverty rate range. Your reaction to this, Councilman?
Well, yeah, and that's why the whole issue of growing the economic pie is such a key thing for us as we move into this next budget cycle. And for the last 5 years, I've been working day and night, working on the whole economic revitalization of our downtown core, and I think we're doing a pretty darn good job down there. Now, that doesn't speak to the east side or the south side or wherever, but I've been working pretty hard and seeing a lot of vertical development, a lot of private sector development, not publicly funded $200 million hotels, which is what was on the table 5 years ago when I started this thing. But now, in fact, we just approved the development agreement a week ago for a new $45 million hotel, the AC Marriott, that's going to start breaking ground early next year. You know, we've got Bianco, we've got Playground, we've got the Rialto block built out. So I think we're doing a lot of good things in terms of job creation. We also have a toolkit in place right now that did not exist 5 years ago, of economic incentives that do line up with the state constitutional gift clause. You just can't give money away to private developers. But by constitution, state constitution, you have to show that they generate or they return more money back into the economy than the level of the incentive. And so we have a primary jobs incentive program, and we have a ton of things that we're doing right now. We put together a central business district and greater economic development district, and we've done some annexations around Tucson Airport Authority, and so there's a lot of good going on. I know the data that you're referring to. I see those. So I'm not going to sit here and say they don't exist, but what I can say, the other side of the coin, is what are we doing to combat it, and that's creating jobs, and I think we're doing a pretty darn good job, at least in the Ward 6 area in the downtown core.
Apparently fewer people are playing golf, and this is reflected, I guess, in these latest figures. The private company out of Scottsdale that's managing our city golf courses, the money just not coming in to the way we would like to see it.
That's true. We have signed an agreement with OB Sports to manage our golf facilities. We decided a year or so ago that we know that the golf enterprise, and it is an enterprise, which means it needs to pay for itself, that it's hemorrhaging cash, and those dollars, just like the transit dollars, come out of the general fund. And so it's our responsibility to look at that part of our budget and say, does it make sense to continue it in the way that we were doing it? We decided the answer to that was no. Let's give OB Sports, a professional management group, a chance to manage it. They've had the contract for less than a year, and so I think it's too early to draw any particular conclusions on the downside. What we do know is that everybody that I've spoken to who has played the courses say that they're doing a great job as far as renovating the courses and the whole attitude and the appearance of the courses is concerned. That does not speak to the fact, though, that there are more courses locally than there were 3 or 4 years ago. It's a question of supply and demand, and so if rounds played are down, we got to look at that. Now, there are certain land use restrictions that exist on all five of the courses that we own, and so we just can't shut one down and turn it into an industrial park, for instance. But we spoke yesterday about this, and several of us said that we want to give OB Sports a fair chance to turn this thing around. But if the fact is, just based on demographics and other considerations, that golf is a dying sport, then we're going to have to look at ways to divest of some of those obligations. I think there is a market for municipal golf that we need to keep, but maybe five courses is not the number we ought to be shooting for.
Steve Kasachek with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Dan is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. He would like to talk about Tucson and a similarity with Detroit. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I've been reading about Detroit in the last few years, and I noticed a similarity that every one of our councilmen and mayor is a Democrat, and the same for Detroit. And both of them seem to be going in the same direction. I was wondering if this councilman has any comments on that.
Okay. I will point out in the news today, leading into this interview, that Detroit actually came out of bankruptcy today, so I'll preface your comments, Councilman. Go ahead.
Sure. I think it's an invidious comparison. I don't categorize people across the board, whether it be based on race, creed, color, sex, national origin, or political party affiliation. People are individuals, and we each bring different strengths to the table.
What you said at the offset in this interview that when you talk to people, probably the first thing that comes to mind, what are we going to do about the potholes and the roads? You say we've made progress in economic development. How does it look here as we close out this calendar year with the first year, I believe, of a 5-year getting these potholes filled in this road program?
That's Prop 409 that you're referring to, and we're putting $20 million a year into it. About 85% of that goes to the arterials, and about $3 million, 15% goes into residential. We have four more fiscal years to go, but quite frankly, that's not going to fix the problem. There are several proposals that are being considered at the regional and the state level to find a dedicated funding source for road reconstruction. One of them that Huckleberry has put forward is an increase in the gas tax. I think there's something, at least it's an arguable position. The one that I have continually pushed and will continue to push, at least to get a public conversation about, is that we pay a half-cent RTA sales tax right now. It cannot be used for road repair. It has to be used to increase capacity. And I would like to have a public conversation and have the legislature put back on the ballot, if and when we reauthorize the RTA, can a certain percentage of those dollars go to road repair instead of building more road capacity? I think that the voters, if asked, would I like to take a portion of the tax I'm already paying versus adding a new one, I think 10 times out of 10 they'd say, let's take some of that RTA money and fix our roads.
We had Fletcher McCusker on our Friday Focus interview last Friday. What do you think of the TCC? He says it looks great.
Yeah, Rio Nuevo put about $8 million into it. The city in the last 3 or 4 years has put $15 to $20 million in some of the infrastructure, the HVAC units, and things like that. It's good. You know, we're doing the best we can with the bones that building has. Bottom line, though, is that we are a B market. We're always going to be a B market. That's not a bad thing. It's just that we're not going to be in L.A. or a Phoenix or a San Diego just based on the number of bodies that we have in the surrounding community. So I think we have to be the best at what we are and not try and be something that we're not. So we're going to continue to put some more money into the TCC. The alternative, is knock the thing down and spend $300 or $400 million on a brand new one. I don't think that is something that the taxpayers would support, and I don't think we as a market need to do that in order to maximize who we are in the geographic region that we exist.
All right, Councilman Kasachek, I hope you have a great Christmas and holiday season. Thanks for being with us.
You too, Bill. Thanks. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Steve Kasachek. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by our friends over in Silver City. Christmas is now 2 weeks away, and if you're looking for some gifts, I think the trip over to Silver City might be in order. 3 hours east of Tucson, they're having their big holiday fair in downtown historic Silver City at the old post office. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of gift ideas for you. You can check out all of the great things to do and places to stay, like Continental Divide RV Park and Gila Hot Springs Ranch, by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. We are coming up now exactly on 12:30, the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back with the second half of the Buckmaster Show.
By choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Do you have uninvited, annoying house guests even before the holidays? Five Star Termite and Pest Control has several options to deal with that inconvenience. Our General Pest Control Division has a cornucopia of service options available to remove these embarrassing invaders from your home. And remember, we are talking about annoying house guests with six or more legs, not your obnoxious drunk uncle. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
HSL Properties presents the inaugural Tucson Jazz Festival on Friday, January 16th through Wednesday, January 28th. This auspicious musical event begins with Jazz Master Jimmy Cobb and the TJI Ellington Band at the Fox Theater.
Here I go again.
Award-winning jazz virtuoso Joe Bourne pays tribute to Frank Sinatra at a Sunday big band brunch at La Paloma on January 25th. Later that evening at the Fox Theater, the Tucson Hard Bop Quintet opens for vocalist Alan Harris as he pays tribute to Nat King Cole. The festival will close with an intimate performance by the legendary Burt Bacharach on Wednesday, January 28th at the Fox. Tickets are going fast, so don't wait. Buy your tickets right now and get more information on our free concerts at TucsonJazzFestival.org or call 547-3040.
How would you like to help people in our community who are in need and save money on your taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit keeps your tax dollars in Tucson when you direct it to a qualifying charity. Individuals may donate up to $200 and married filing jointly up to $400. Receive a dollar-for-dollar credit that will reduce your Arizona state income tax. This could also be claimed on your federal taxes. Help local charities like Old Pueblo Community Services, Pima Council on Aging, and Gap Ministries. Go to azcharitytaxcredit.org.
Oh, Donner, easy blitzin'. Slower, slower. Oh, reindeer poop.
Perfection Auto Works. Santa, it's been a while.
It's about to sleigh, Mike.
Time for those iridium reindeer plugs we talked about?
No, minor front end damage. The reindeer brakes just wouldn't hold.
Okay, hang on. Hello, Merles, full brake set for a... Hang on a minute. Santa, what year is that sleigh? Okay. Merles, listen. Full brake set for a 37 sleigh. No, including the rotors. A full set. Okay. Santa, major tune-up as long as you're going to be here?
Why not? Talk to me about that Jado bottle again.
Perfection Auto Works, from the hood to the trunk latch, from sleigh brakes to motor mounts. PerfectionAutoWorks.com or 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we bring in one of our blogger contributors. He is the blogger contributor for the Buckmaster Show. We've got about 24 contributors that come to this program on at least a monthly basis, and we thank them very much for their service to this program. And David Safir of the Tucson Weekly, who blogs about education primarily, but does other things as well.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be here.
Good to see you. And, of course, you're still doing the work for the Northwest Explorer.
I write a monthly column there this month. A little bit of a preview here. It's going to be about the tuition tax credit for public schools. Get out there and give that money. You'll get it back. The public schools need it.
Thanks for bringing that up. Actually, we're going to be doing kind of a big push on this program as we get closer to the end of the new year about some of the groups that certainly are going to be encouraging folks to take advantage of that.
Yeah,
credit.
If there's anybody out there who doesn't understand, you give money to these groups, and then whatever you owe in taxes that's more than that, it's subtracted from there. So it's literally for you a zero-cost measure. You get to give the money where you think it should go. Some of these are just absolutely terrific. Some I have questions about, but certainly the public school tuition tax credit, the working poor credit, I really like those.
David Safir with us, 790-2040. Whenever David comes onto this program, we usually get some comments. You want to take issue with David? He's more than willing to listen to what you have to say, and he will give his response to your particular comment. TUSD last night approved a $4.4 million package for teacher and staff, some raises. This, of course, is anything that has to do with pay raises in this day and age is controversial.
Oh, yeah, it is, and it's $4.4 million. It's $500 per teacher across the board. There's apparently no differentiation between a first-year teacher and someone at the top of the salary schedule. And there's also a 2.5% raise for people who work for the district, including people like custodians and bus drivers, and also for administrators. So it's built in across the board, and total $4.4 million.
Administrators then too are going to get a raise.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of a problem with that, and it's one that I can't reconcile, and I have to know more about it. And that's that, you know, teachers are really getting more like a 1% raise. If a teacher makes $50,000, 1% of that is $500. So that person's getting a 1% raise. A 2.5% raise, I don't have much trouble with that for the lower salaried people, you know, the people who are the workers in the district. But why administrators are getting more, I would have to learn more about it. And one thing I'd have to know is, are our administrators underpaid relative to other districts? Because if so, other districts will snatch them away. And I just don't know the answer. But as a teacher, I'm a little bit troubled to see anything weighted more towards administrators.
How about the math on this? How does it zero out? Or
it's interesting. We're in such a terrible situation in terms of finances for schools in the state. It's purely created by the legislature and by the mania to cut taxes even when we can't afford it. And as most people know right now, in the courts is saying that the state has to give like $331 million per year off the top, plus a total of $1 billion over 5 years. And the legislators, the Republican legislators, are just screaming bloody murder. But teachers, I think teachers deserve more money. Now, some people don't, but let's assume for a moment that teachers do deserve more money. Let's say they deserve $1,000 more a year. And when I think about that in my head, that means that every year teachers are, in a sense, refunding $1,000 to the state. They really are. They're giving $1,000 of what they should be earning back to the state. When I give money to the state, I consider that a tax. So this is playing around semantically a bit, but it really makes sense that teachers are paying taxes to the point of $1,000 or whatever you think they're underpaid per year so that the rest of us don't have to. And I think that for the privilege of teaching our children, they're giving us our future. That they should be paying because we don't want to seems pretty ridiculous. So I went through and I gave myself a math problem this morning. I'm an English teacher, but here's the math problem I gave myself. If every adult in Tucson pitched in equally to pay that $4.4 million in raise, how much would that be per person? And I'm going to give you a second here.
You put this question on your Facebook page right also this morning, and some folks took you to task saying that the district isn't the whole city.
That's true.
Yes. Okay.
But let's just do it. We're doing round numbers here. This is third grade math. This is an eighth grade math.
Right.
Yeah, Tucson has about 600,000 people, somewhere around 400,000 adults. Well, if every one of those 400,000 adults paid in an equal share of that $4.4 million in raises, it would be a little bit more than $10 per year, less than a dollar per month per person to pay for those raises. So while $4.4 million sounds like a lot of money, it's less than a dollar a month per year. And if we made it all progressive, well, people who are wealthy maybe pay 50 or 60 bucks a year, $4 or $5 a month. And people who aren't wealthy or in low income maybe would pay $1 or $2 a year, would be pennies. So it's not a lot of money when you put it that way. And it's money that we're saying, teachers, we don't want to give you this because we can't afford it. Who here, especially people middle to high income, couldn't afford $10 to $50 a year if it meant paying teachers more like what they should have gotten?
And the vote went along the way the usual suspects vote.
Yeah, that's
meaning Mark Segerman and Michael Hicks said, no, we cannot afford. The district is spending more than it's bringing in, and thus we cannot afford to make this happen.
And they have a point. I'm not going to say they don't have a point, because this isn't easily sustainable. The district this year has actually a surplus above its normal surplus. And so Superintendent Sanchez said rightly, we shouldn't be holding on to more money than we need as a surplus. So he's actually paying some of that down in the district. And I think that's great. But next year, we won't have that extra surplus. So what happens? What happens if the state doesn't come up with the $331 million, which would be, you know, a sizable chunk for TUSD? And I don't know, but I'm hoping that they have figured it out. I don't want to see this go away. You can't make a promise to somebody and pull it away. And I don't think it will, to be honest. But it's a strain. And Bill, it's a strain, I have to say again, not because Sanchez doesn't know how to do the math, not because the district doesn't know how to budget its money. It's a strain because there's not enough money for education in the state, because we're 48th, 49th, or 50th in the amount we spend per student, and we keep cutting it, and it's criminal.
Someone wondered about how they can read your work. They perhaps haven't seen your blog with the mm-hmm. Tucson Weekly, so maybe we should say how they can see your stuff.
Okay, it's not in the paper. It's online.
See, that's what was confusing, I think, one of our listeners.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So if you go online, you go to the Tucson Weekly, you'll see that one of the categories there is The Range. That's the name of the blog, The Range. Or you can go in Google and just put on Tucson Weekly, The Range. And there you'll see literally a blog with 4 or 5 or 6 or 8, depending on the day, contributors, and mine are scattered amongst them. If you want to focus on mine because you're interested in education, find one of my posts, click on my name, David Safir, and then you'll see a list of all of the posts that I've made forever, you know, so you can go down and see more of them if you're interested.
They also wanted to know how to get a hold of you. I guess your email would be there too.
Yeah, it's on mailbag@tucsonweekly.com. I don't have my own, but the editor, our new editor, the wonderful Mari Herreras, who just stepped in, mm-hmm. will forward it to me. Whenever email comes directed to me saying David, it always comes to me. So please, I would love to have you contact me.
Let's go to the live line. David says we cannot afford to pay teachers more, and let's hear what his arguments are. Go ahead, David. You're with David Safir.
The reason why the schools can't afford to pay the teachers more.
Are you having trouble hearing, Bill?
Go ahead,
David. I'm sorry. Could you start again? I couldn't get that.
Okay. The reason why the schools can't pay the teachers more is they're financially strapped, and the reason why they're financially strapped is the legislature passed legislation prohibiting schools from charging impact fees on all the new homes they're building, and they're building thousands of new homes in Marana. They use the Marana School District as an example. They have to keep raising taxes on us because they can't charge impact fees, and they have to absorb all the new enrollment, build more schools, and this is what happens at all the schools where you have rapid growth.
Okay.
They can't afford to pay the teachers because they can't charge impact fees on the thousands of homes going in.
Okay, well, I know about the impact fees, and I know it's a problem, but I'm not sure exactly how it works in terms of education. I know that those impact fees go towards roads and other services, and you may know more about that than I do. But one way or another, a dollar is a dollar wherever it comes from, and the legislature simply isn't coughing up the dollars we need.
790-2040. Let's take our break here at 1246 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back with David Safir talking about education and his blog right after this on the Buckmaster Show.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you planning a party or special event? Contact Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in Southern Arizona. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a 3-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They're one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with. It's amazing how they can set up the entire U of A mall with tents, tables, and chairs everywhere in such a short period of time. It's impressive how Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Thanks, Bruce. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Take a page from the Tucson Festival of Books. With our vast selection of tents, tables, chairs, linens, and over 50,000 items in stock, we have event solutions for any occasion. Visit our showroom on Speedway just west of Alvernon or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Quality products, exceptional selection, and outstanding service. That's Arizona Party Rental.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1252. Do you think that TUSD teachers should be getting a raise, along with administrators? Also going to be getting a raise as well. That was decided at last night's TUSD meeting by a 3-2 vote. And we can pretty much guess, as we talked about in the last segment, about who voted yes, who voted no.
Yeah, it's the usual suspects. It's the divisions are pretty strong. There may be some crossover, and there's going to be some unanimous votes, obviously, because some things are obvious. But we're going to see that same 3-2 over and over, I think.
David Safir is here. He blogs on The Range. That is the name of the category of blogging on the TucsonWeekly.com website. And we were talking about this raise, what it does translate if you broke it down into all of the residents of the city of Tucson. And it would be, what did you figure out about?
I said a little more than $10 a year, less than a dollar a month if you make it even. And if you made it progressive, it would be, I don't know, 50 or 60 bucks for the wealthy and pennies for people who are lower income. You know, it's just not, it's not a lot of money. And Bill, I decided to go further. I took my math problem statewide. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, let's say that, as an example, we gave every teacher in the state $1,000 raise. You know, let's not worry about trifles. Let's not figure out what it is, but $1,000 raise. How much would you and I have to pay? How much would every adult pay, just like I did in Tucson? Well, here are the numbers, in case you don't know the numbers. These are round figures. There are about 6 million people in Arizona. Of those, about 4 million are adults. So we got 4 million adults we're dealing with. We got about 1 million K-12 students. I don't know if people know that, but it's 1 million. And we have 60,000 teachers. So I threw in some numbers there that aren't necessary for the math problem. 60,000 teachers, 4 million people, $1,000 raise, $15 per adult per year. $1.25 or something like that per month. $15 per year per adult. And again, if we made it just like we did in Tucson, if we made it stratified in terms of income, 50, 60, 70 bucks more for people who are making up in the 100,000 plus range and just pennies for people who are in the low income. If we as a people can't afford to give our teachers what they deserve as a salary, and I think they deserve more. I don't think $1,000 even covers it. But even that $1,000, if we can't do that for $15 a year, there's something seriously wrong with what we're doing and with how much we're willing to invest in our children and in our future.
It really upsets me. And, of course, the taxpayers, though, when you break that down, they'd be stuck with a bigger bill than $15.
Yeah, because not all adults would pay. But again, right. if you're up in the $100,000 range, what, $50, $60 more a year?
Yeah.
I don't bleed for the person who's making in six figures having to pay another $5 a month. That's not one day's latte.
You know, folks will say, David, okay, we give these people a raise. Are we going to get better performance out of them?
Well, if we keep more teachers who don't go elsewhere, yes, if we attract more teachers because they say, do you know how long it takes for a teacher to get into what's considered the middle class? 5, 6, 10 years, depending on maybe 13 years, depending on what state you're in. If we tell people there's going to be a living wage, you can think about there being a house in your future that you can own, more people are going to go there rather than going elsewhere. So the answer is you're not going to get more out of the individual teachers because teachers mainly give everything they can and they're not thinking about giving only per dollar. Teachers give money to the classroom. My God, they buy their own supplies. They buy their own Kleenex. They buy their own crayons. They buy their own papers. Teachers aren't greedy, but our ability to get the best teachers and keep the best teachers will increase if we have a higher salary.
Let's go to the live line. Ingrid has a question or comment for you, David. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon, sir. Have you ever thought of inspecting or really analyzing some of the classes that are taught in school? Parents are complaining about sex education. I remember when my kids were in school, I had suggested that we limit it to physiology and anatomy of human beings regarding reproduction. And now parents are complaining about the same thing over here. How about getting rid of some of these classes that would reduce the cost of education and focusing on literature, history, science, math, and getting rid of the nonsense?
Okay.
Well, Ingrid, first of all, I taught for more than 30 years. I was a high school English teacher, and I was in a comprehensive district public high school that had all the history classes and art classes and music classes and personal finance and health classes, which is where the sex education is taught. And I'm just going to say that you and I disagree on that, and I'm not going to go into a long litany of reasons. Bill and I don't think we're going to have time, but we're going to talk about what went on in the Gilbert School District. But we're running out of time. Nonetheless, this is just a matter of a disagreement of what makes up a comprehensive education. And I do think that things like sex education for kids to learn what's going on with their bodies and how to prevent unwanted pregnancies and how to stay safe from sexually transmitted diseases, I think those are valuable things for kids to learn.
Can we squeeze one more in? Let's see if we can get John on talking about teachers. Go ahead, John.
Hi, guys. I'm a teacher, 12-year veteran, and never had a blemish on my evaluations, and it's too little too late for me. Can't make it on the salary, trying to raise a family. And so I'm sorry to say, but I'm gone already. So even if I mean, I haven't had a raise for 9 years.
Wow.
Okay. Thank you, John,
for adding that.
Yeah, and thanks for your time in the classroom. I perfectly understand. Teachers in Tucson haven't gotten a raise 4 years. It stayed the same. And it's really difficult to raise your family on the kind of money that we pay people who have 5 years plus college education, sometimes 6, 7, 8 years, and simply are being paid far less than they would get with that kind of income in another profession.
Okay, David, Safir, we're going to have to run. Thank you very much for coming in. We'll look forward to talking to you after the new year. I hope you and yours have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you, Bill, for your service too,
to this program. David Safir with us. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Are you looking for a good auto mechanic? That's a question that I'm sure comes up regularly with many people in this town. Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works do a great job. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Check it out. Convenient Midtown location, just one block south of Speedway on North Beverly, and they will take care of all of your automotive needs. We strongly recommend the work that Mike and his team do for the citizens of Tucson with their automotive needs. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, one of our other local talk shows we encourage you to listen to with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5, and then Wake Up Tucson, 2 hours, 6 to 8, with Chris and Joe, then Chris DeSimone, the Daily Double, 8 to 9. It will all be engineered tomorrow morning by Ed Alexander. On behalf of Ed and myself, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24-7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.